Welcome to the Wednesday Gathering, a live Christian Science teleconference prayer and gratitude meeting hosted by prayerfulliving.com and open to all. We are delighted that you have joined us as a participant in this spiritual oasis. For those with a computer, our web address is prayerfulgathering.com. To hear previous healing messages, click on the link labeled Wednesday Gathering Audio Archive. Let's now join together in song, hymn 174. Again, welcome to this healing meeting at prayerfulgathering.com. The topic for today's healing message is Mary Baker Eddy and the Comforter. I shall read from the King James Version of the Bible and correlative passages from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science. I shall read from the Bible, Psalms. I looked for some to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. Isaiah, comfort ye my people, saith your God. John, now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may wake him out of sleep. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Jesus said, take away the stone. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto him, loose him, and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Matthew. Another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. 2 Corinthians. Be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. I shall now read correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy. In the year 1866, I discovered the Christ Science, or Divine Laws of Life, Truth, and Love, and named my discovery Christian Science. God had been graciously preparing me during many years for the reception of this final revelation of the absolute divine principle of scientific mental healing. Whence came to me this heavenly conviction, a conviction antagonistic to the testimony of the physical senses? According to St. Paul, it was the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. It was the divine law of life and love unfolding to me the demonstrable fact that matter possesses neither sensation nor life, that human experiences show the falsity of all material things, and that immortal cravings, the price of learning love, establish the truism that the only sufferer is mortal mind, for the divine mind cannot suffer. When apparently near the confines of mortal existence, standing already within the shadow of the death valley, I learned these truths in divine science, that all real being is in God, the divine mind, and that life, truth, and love are all powerful and ever present, that the opposite of truth, called error, sin, sickness, disease, death, is the false testimony of false material sense of mind in matter, that this false sense evolves in belief, a subjective state of mortal mind, which this same so-called mind names matter, thereby shutting out the true sense of spirit. My discovery that erring, mortal, misnamed mind produces all the organism and action of the mortal body set my thoughts to work in new channels and led up to my demonstration of the proposition that mind is all and matter is not as the leading factor in mind science. For 3 years after my discovery, I sought the solution of this problem of mind healing, searching the scriptures, and read little else. Kept aloof from society and devoted time and energies to discovering a positive rule. The search was sweet, calm, and buoyant with hope, not selfish nor depressing. I knew the principle of all harmonious mind action to be God, and that cures were produced in primitive Christian healing by holy, uplifting faith. But I must know the science of this healing, and I won my way to absolute conclusions through divine revelation, reason, and demonstration. A book introduces new thoughts, but it cannot make them speedily understood. It is the task of the sturdy pioneer to hew the tall oak and to cut the rough granite. Future ages must declare what the pioneer has accomplished. Since the author's discovery of the might of truth in the treatment of disease as well as of sin, her system has been fully tested and has not been found wanting. But to reach the heights of Christian Science, man must live in obedience to its divine principle. To develop the full might of this science, the discords of corporeal sense must yield to the harmony of spiritual sense, even as the science of music corrects false tones and gives sweet concord to sound. She also began to jot down her thoughts on the main subject, but these jottings were only infantile lispings of truth. Her first pamphlet on Christian Science was copyrighted in 1870, but it did not appear in print until 1876. As she had learned that this science must be demonstrated by healing before a work on this subject could be profitably studied. The first edition of Science and Health was published in 1875. The author has not compromised conscience to suit the general drift of thought, but has bluntly and honestly given the text of truth. She has made no effort to embellish, elaborate, or treat in full detail so infinite a theme. The divine principle of healing is proved in the personal experience of any sincere seeker of truth. The physical healing of Christian Science results now, as in Jesus' time, from the operation of divine principle, before which sin and disease lose their reality in human consciousness and disappear as naturally and as necessarily as darkness gives place to light and sin to reformation. Now as then, these mighty works are not supernatural, but supremely natural. They are the sign of Emmanuel, or God with us, a divine influence ever present in human consciousness and repeating itself, coming now, as was promised aforetime, to preach deliverance to the captives of sense, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Jesus bade his disciples beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees, which he defined as human doctrines. His parable of the leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened, impels the inference that the spiritual leaven signifies the science of Christ and its spiritual interpretation, an inference far above the merely ecclesiastical and formal applications of the illustration. In their spiritual significance, science, theology, and medicine are means of divine thought, which include spiritual laws emanating from the invisible and infinite power and grace. The parable may import that these spiritual laws, perverted by a perverse material sense of law, are metaphysically presented as 3 measures of meal, that is, 3 modes of mortal thought. In all mortal forms of thought, dust is dignified as the natural status of men and things, and modes of material motion are honored with the name of laws. This continues until the leaven of spirit changes the whole of mortal thought, as yeast changes the chemical properties of meal. I was called to visit Mr. Clark in Lynn, who had been confined to his bed 6 months with hip disease, caused by a fall upon a wooden spike when quite a boy. On entering the house, I met his physician, who said that the patient was dying. The physician had just probed the ulcer on the hip and said the bone was carious for several inches. He even showed me the probe, which had on it the evidence of this condition of the bone. The doctor went out. Mr. Clark lay with his eyes fixed and silent, sightless. The dew of death was on his brow. I went to his bedside. In a few moments, his face changed. Its death pallor gave place to a natural hue. The eyelids closed gently, and the breathing became natural. He was asleep. In about 10 minutes, he opened his eyes and said, "I feel like a new man. My suffering is all gone." It was between 3 and 4 o'clock in the afternoon when this took place. I told him to rise, dress himself, and take supper with his family. He did so. The next day I saw him in the yard. Since then I have not seen him, but am informed that he went to work in 2 weeks. The discharge from the sore stopped, and the sore was healed. In the words of St. John, "He shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. This comforter I understand to be divine science." In the spirit of Christ's charity, as one who hopeth all things, endureth all things, and is joyful to bear consolation to the sorrowing and healing to the sick, she commits these pages to honest seekers for truth. Mary Baker Eddy.